Bhagavad Lila, Chapter 25, Lord Sri Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill. In this chapter, we hear how Lord Indra, overcome by anger and pride, sent rain to destroy the Brijvasis. To protect Braj, Krishna held Govardhan Hill in his left hand for 7 days. Shukadev Goswami immediately reveals the foolishness of Indra and the absurdity of his anger. Angry Indra sent forth the clouds of universal destruction known as Samvartaka. Imagining himself as the supreme controller, Indra spoke as follows. The seven winds of destruction, such as Avaha and Pravaha, were also sent by Indra. Ishamani, excessive pride. Indra arrogantly considered himself to be the supreme controller. Indra said, "Just see how these coward men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have considered an ordinary human being Krishna. Have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna, and thus they have offended the gods. I am astonished to see the amount of wealth and bliss of these coward men." Being inspired by Goddess Saraswati, we can understand what Indra was really saying, that the coward men had offended him by taking shelter of Krishna, whom Indra considered to be a martya, a mortal. Krishna is called martyam in this verse by Indra because Krishna appears to give auspiciousness to the ignorant souls of the material world. Indra goes on. Taking shelter of Krishna is just like the foolish attempt of men who abandon transcendental knowledge of the self and instead try to cross over the great ocean of material existence in the false boats of fruitive ritual sacrifices. These Brijvasis, they have foolishly taken shelter of Krishna in hopes that he will reduce the ocean to the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. These coward men have acted inimically toward me by taking shelter of this ordinary human being, Krishna, who thinks himself wise, but he's simply talkative, foolish, arrogant child. He's speaking many audacious arguments in the line of Karma Mimamsa and Sankhya philosophy. Even though he does not accept these arguments. Yes, he's foolish. He's disrespectful because he speaks boldly even in the presence of his own father. Because this little boy is ignorant, all he can do is herd cows. But he thinks himself a pundit. Although I am a demigod, these people neglect me to honor him, a mere human being, and thus they offend me. Through the insults of Indra, Goddess Saraswati is actually praising Krishna thus, quote, "By Krishna's mercy, even a fool becomes expert in speaking, according to the Vedic authority. Vakam karoti vachanam bhangam langayate gurim yakripa vande paramananda madhavam." Krishna bows down to no one because there is no one for him to offer homage to. There is nothing more for Krishna to know because he is omniscient. As Pandit Maninam, it means that Krishna is highly honored by the knowers of the Absolute Truth. Now Indra addresses his Samvartika clouds of destruction. "The prosperity of these people has made them mad with pride, and their arrogance is backed up by Krishna. Now go and remove their pride and bring their animals to destruction. Due to wealth, these coward men are mad with pride, and their minds have been influenced by Krishna. You should remove their pride and kill their cows. I will follow you to Braj, riding on my elephant, Airavata, and taking with me the swift and powerful wind gods, Maruts, to decimate the coward village of Nanda Maharaj.
The unintentional inner meaning of Indra's words is as follows, quote, "These coward men of Braj are anointed with sandalwood pulp, Shriya Avalipta. You clouds should remove the heat in their bodies with cool rain and refresh the cows, making them tremble in delight. When Krishna lifts Govardhan, you should allow him to make a beautiful place to stay."
The inner meaning of Indra's last statement is,
"I will also accompany you, clouds of destruction, with a desire myself to see the coward pastures of Nanda."
Indra sent forth the Samvartika clouds, which could cover the entire earth with a single vast ocean. Losing his discrimination because of anger, Indra released those clouds without considering the magnitude of their power. Rumbling with thunder, the clouds moved here and there, being pushed by the Avaha and Pravaha winds. Marudgane. The clouds poured down hailstones. The clouds released torrents of rain as thick as massive columns. The earth was submerged in the flood, and the high ground could no longer be distinguished from the low. The cows and other animals, shivering from the excessive rain, and the coward men and ladies, pained from the cold, all approached Govinda for shelter. Trembling from distress, from the severe rainfall, and trying to cover the heads and calves with their own bodies, the cows approached the lotus feet of Krishna. Remembering the prediction of Garga Muni, "Anena sarva durgani yuyam agyas tirshita." This was spoken at Krishna's name-giving ceremony in Gokul. "By Krishna's grace, dear Brijvasis, you will easily cross beyond all difficulties." Remembering that, the Brijvasis were confident that in such time of danger, Lord Narayan would empower Krishna to protect them. With this conviction, they offered their prayer, "Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Twannatam Gokulam Prabho, Tratum Maharsi Devanna, Kupitad Bhaktavatsalaha." O Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees, please save us also. Krishna saw that the Gokulavasis were practically unconscious from the onslaught of hail and blasting winds. He understood that this was all the work of angry Indra. The severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the Brijvasis was an arrangement made by Krishna's pastime potency, Lila Shakti, so that Krishna could taste the sweetness of his devotees' prema to his full satisfaction. For a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food, and thus hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. Krishna spoke to himself,
Because I have stopped this sacrifice, Indra has caused this fierce, unseasonable rain with terrible winds and hail. Now Krishna speaks to the Brijvasis to comfort them in five verses. O Brijvasis, by my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra are proud of their opulence, and out of foolishness they falsely consider themselves to be the Lord of the universe. I will now destroy their ignorance. I will remedy the situation through my mystic power. Being falsely proud of their power due to ignorance, these demigods think of themselves as lords. I am not going to completely crush this weak Indra out of spite, but I will correct this fault of false pride which has arisen in my devotee. I will protect the coward community from this disturbance caused by Indra, because Braj is my home, and I am the master of the house. Braj is the place where my father, brother, and dear ones live. Not only will I protect these people from this disturbance, but I protect all people, even at the time of Mahapralaya, annihilation of the universe. I have taken this vow, me vrata ahita. Sri Krishna picked up Govardhan Hill with his left hand. That mountain was so tall it was touching the clouds. With the umbrella of Giriraj, Krishna blocked the Samvartika clouds and created a living space in the form of a house beneath the mountain. Krishna held the mountain without any difficulty, like a child holding a mushroom. When Krishna was preparing to lift Govardhan Hill, a partial expansion of Krishna's Yogamaya potency, named Sanghariki, removed temporarily all the rain from the sky, so that as Krishna ran very swiftly from the porch of his house in Nandagram to the mountain of Govardhan, neither Krishna's turban nor his other garments became wet. Payamba tata rajokasa itopa josham vishata girigartam sagodana. Krishna addressed the Brijvasis, O mother, O father, O Brijvasis, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows. Now you can all comfortably take shelter under Govardhan Hill. The Brijvasis replied, but how can our cowherd community, with thousands of cows, calves, and bulls, fit under Govardhan, which is only 3 miles wide? Because Govardhan Hill was an ecstasy. Being touched by Krishna's hand, Govardhan acquired inconceivable power and even felt the hundreds of deadly thunderbolts thrown upon its back by angry Indra to be nothing more than offerings of soft, fragrant flowers. At times, Sri Govardhan was not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking his surface. Govardhan expanded his form to 32 miles, so that all the Brijvasis, cows, buffaloes, and animals, could live comfortably beneath his shelter. At that time, Krishna said, Sri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds. What to speak of the simple land of Braj? When Krishna lifted Govardhan, the mountain extended beyond the clouds. The deer, wild hogs, and other animals and birds standing on Govardhan's flanks climbed up to Govardhan's peaks, which were now higher than the clouds. And thus, even these animals and beasts Even they did not experience the slightest distress from the Samvartika clouds and hailstones and columns of rain. Their minds pacified by Krishna, the Brijbasis all entered beneath Govardhan Hill, and there they found ample room for themselves and all their cows, wagons, servants, and priests, and the whole community. The Brijbasis forgot about hunger and thirst for 7 days. Why? Because they were immersed in the ecstatic bliss of seeing Krishna continuously. Sri Krishna held up the mountain while his praises were chanted by the Brijbasis, all of whom now had the opportunity to dwell together with Krishna, and the Brijbasis glanced at Krishna with joyful, amazed eyes. Thus the coward men and women were all elated, and out of loving affection they opened their eyes wide. It should be understood that Krishna stood directly facing everyone under the hill. By continuously drinking the nectar of the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, the Brijbasis felt no hunger, thirst, or fatigue. And Sri Krishna, by seeing the beautiful forms of his beloved gopis, also forgot about eating, drinking, and sleeping. The 7 days of continuous rain from Indra's Samvartika clouds failed to flood the district of Mathura, because the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, simply by his Ichha Shakti, supreme willpower, immediately dried up the water as it fell to the ground. For the Brijbasis, the 7 days passed as if they were one Gatika, which means 24 minutes. When Indra observed this exhibition of Sri Krishna's mystic power, he became most astonished. Pulled down from his platform of false pride and his intentions thwarted, Indra ordered his clouds to desist. His pride deflated, Indra withdrew the clouds out of fear that Krishna would punish him. Sri Krishna said, Niryatya tyajata trasam gopa sastri dhanarabhaka uparatam vatavarsham vyuda prayash tanibnaga. My dear cowherd men, please go out from the hill along with your wives, children, and possessions. Give up your fear. The wind and rain have stopped, and the river's high waters have subsided. Now the rivers were practically devoid of water. After loading their goods on the bullock carts, the coward men emerged from under the Govardhan Mountain, while all the living creatures looked on. Sri Krishna put down the hill in its original place, as it had stood before. Overwhelmed in love, each of the Brajabasis approached Krishna according to his position, as an inferior, younger member of the community, as an equal, or as a superior, and they dealt with Krishna accordingly. The superiors offered Krishna auspicious benedictions. They lovingly smelled Krishna's head, kissed Krishna, and massaged his left arm, which he had previously used for 7 days to haul up the Govardhan Mountain. And then the Brijbasis, the senior ones, cracked the fingers of Krishna's left hand. And with parental affection, they asked if Krishna felt tired or he was pained anywhere. Krishna's equals laughed or joked with him, and those that were younger fell at Krishna's feet, massaged his feet, and so on. The wives of the Brahmanas joined the coward ladies and offered auspicious items like yogurt and unbroken grains. They blessed Krishna by saying, "May you subdue the wicked, protect the decent people, give pleasure to your parents, and be enriched with all wealth and opulence." Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda Baba, and Baladev, the greatest of the strong, all embraced Krishna. Overwhelmed with affection, they offered Krishna their blessings. The very special position of Krishna's own mother Yashoda and other intimate relatives is stated in this verse. It is not unsuitable to include Balaram in the group that feels parental affection, Vatsalya Bhav, towards Krishna, because Balaram acts in that capacity as Krishna's elder brother. One may object, saying, "Since Balaram is so affectionate, why didn't he assume his plenary expansion of Ananta Shesh, since he's already holding up the earth, and Balaram himself could have enacted the great feat of holding up Govardhan Hill on behalf of his younger brother?" What is the answer? The answer is that once Krishna made his decision to stop Indra's sacrifice, to worship Govardhan and to lift Govardhan Hill in order to protect the Vrijvasis, it would be improper and impossible for his Angsa, plenary portion Balaram, to do anything else. Thus Balaram did not show his powers. As Krishna is the Shaktiman, possessor of innumerable potencies, by his desire alone, suitable powers will appear when necessary in his Angsa. In this regard, sometimes ancient paintings show Krishna's Giridhari being given butter by his two mothers Yashoda and Rohini, while Nanda Baba and Baladev hold up Govardhan Hill with their heads or sticks. In Vaishnav Toshani, Srila Sanatana Goswami says that this occurred due to being overwhelmed by love. In the heavens, the demigods Siddhas, Sadhyas, Gandharvas, and Charanas praised Krishna and showered flowers in great jubilation. They were just as jubilant as the Brijvasis, and thus a great universal festival took place. Demigods resounded conch shells and kettle drums, and the best of the Gandharvas, Tumburu, began to sing the glories of Krishna. Surrounded by his loving coward boyfriends and Balaram, Krishna went off to the place where he had been tending his cows. The gopis returned to their homes, singing joyfully about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and the other glorious deeds performed by Lord Krishna, who had so deeply touched their hearts. While Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, Radha and other beloved gopis, unnoticed by others, were intimately associated with Krishna by exchanging secret glances from a distance. While returning to their homes, the gopis lovingly sang about Krishna's pastimes. It should be understood that gopis had the ability to immediately compose songs about Krishna's pastimes. The verse is saying, "Gopika Ridisprisha." It means that gopis who touch Krishna in their praying-filled hearts, or who always meditated on Krishna. Or it can mean some very dear gopis whom Krishna embraced to his chest or in his mind. This phrase describes a quality of Krishna. Gopika Ridisprisha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Krishna's Samhita and Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he describes about 20 different demons and the bad qualities that they represent. And by reading these chapters of the 10th canto and praying to the heroes and heroines of this Leelas, especially Krishna and Balaram, and the Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Gurudev, these impediments or obstacles are blockages, which are anarthas, anaparads, and demoniac qualities, which prevent our pure loving service, mood, and action, become removed from the heart. So he says that stopping Indra Yajna and lifting over it on hell, it represents rejecting the idea of worshipping many gods and the notion that I am Brahman. It represents demigod worship and the tendency to think I am supreme and perfect. If a devotee keeps worshipping demigods to attain fruitful results, even after starting bhakti or devotional service, this is an anartha. Before joining ISKCON or becoming devotees of the Lord, attempting to chant Shudanam and engage in the Prem Seva of Radha Krishna or Gaur Govinda, Guru Gaur and Govinda, Hari Guru Vaishnava Seva, one may have previously been a worshipper of Ganesh or Vaishnavi or Hanuman or Shiva or Surya or Panchapasanam or some demigod, Siddhivinayak, and praying to those demigods for removal of obstacles, passing exams, getting a promotion, succeeding in business, expanding one's business, making a big profit, signing a big contract, settling a big deal, getting a good husband or wife, and approaching them for various material benefits. But this is considered an anartha, to place the demigods above Krishna, or to consider that Krishna bhakti cannot provide everything. It is a lack of surrender. It is a neophyte consciousness of a Kanishtha, a Vaishnava Praya Prakriti Bhakta, who still clings to the concept that demigod worship is necessary or important in the life of a devotee. We should all strive for pure bhakti and depend completely at all times for everything, whatever we need, whatever we require. Yoga Shema Mahamyaham. Krishna preserves what we have and carries what we lack. Sri Krishna and Krishna alone, Krishna's bhajan and Krishna's bhajan alone, Nam Yajna and Nam Yajna alone, and chanting Krishna's mantra, and the japa and mantras, Gopal mantra, Kam Gayatri, alone, these are all the practices or pujas or upasanam that a devotee, a Krishna bhakta, needs to attain his desired result, whatever he wants. Akama sarvakamova, moksha kamurudari udari. Whether one's free from desires or full of material desires, no matter what his position, once one becomes a devotee, he should simply worship Krishna. This is stated in Bhagavatam, second canto, third chapter, verse 10. Akama sarvakamova, moksha kamurudari, tivrena bhakti yogena. Yajeta Purusham Param Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna with great force, Tivra. Yajeta Purusham. One should worship that person, that supreme enjoyer, Param Purusham. Whether one is desireless and has no material desires, or whether one is full of desires for sense enjoyment and material promotion, pleasure, satisfaction, happiness, or one desires liberation, sarva kamo, moksha kamo. He desires liberation from material bondage. If he is intelligent, udhara di, broad intelligence. If he is intelligent, he should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, through intense and unalloyed cultivation of bhakti yoga. So we should try to live our life purely centered on Krishna. Krishna is our provider. Krishna is our protector. Krishna is our maintainer. Krishna is our everything.